The Earl McCoy Show contains content that may not be appropriate for younger listeners. If you are a younger listener, you have terrible parents for letting you hear this.
Welcome to the inaugural episode of The Earl McCoy Show. I'm Trey Dorn. Sitting in for Earl this week is tall Katie Hathaway, and next to me is Matt Biederman.
Yo.
Hey.
Yeah, we have no idea what we're doing. See, my thought is that we're going to have to put Katie closest to the microphone because she's quiet.
Right.
Well, we also have voices that carry. We have good timbre.
Oh, shush. Keep it down now.
Voices carry.
Well, I love that people forget that was Amy Mann. Amy Mann was she sang for Till Tuesday, and everyone's like, now she's like this super huge
serious
artist.
Musician, yeah.
And when you go back, you're like, she's in fucking Till Tuesday. She can't talk.
Okay, so this is actually something I found today. For those few people who might be listening to this who live outside the Chippewa Valley, I'm holding a copy of Volume 1, which is a local arts and entertainment magazine that they put out every couple weeks. Now, in there, they're coming to theaters. They have little descriptions of movies. And one of the descriptions they've got, which is some movie that opens October 30th, is Boondock Saints 2, All Saints Day. And I'm not going to make a comment about the sequel because I haven't seen the sequel, and neither has the idiot who wrote this. But sequels tend to be worse, so I'm crossing my fingers about it, but I have no idea if it's going to be
right,
bad.
Right.
That's kind of irrelevant. But the guy writes, Boondock, this sequel to the somewhat odd cult classic is the kind of movie that I have no interest in seeing. The Boondock Saints, All Saint Days, follows the brothers McManus as they try to bring down the men who killed their childhood priest. I never understood the appeal of the original, which was more or less a straight-to-DVD release knocking off Guy Ritchie's style, another director whose appeal I can't figure out, and starring a bunch of nobodies at the time. Most of that hasn't changed 10 years after the fact, except now that Judd Nelson will make an appearance. Here's the thing. Now, whether or not you like the original Boondock Saints, I happen to like it, and whether or not you like Guy Ritchie films, if you have seen a Guy Ritchie film, and you have seen Boondock Saints, I am hard-pressed to find the similarities, besides the fact that both have a gray protagonist. Guy Ritchie likes his protagonist gray, and the heroes, the McManus brothers in the Boondock Saints, are not black and white characters. They're likable protagonists, but part of the whole point of the film is questioning whether or not they're doing right or wrong. And whether you like this movie, if Guy Ritchie films are nothing like the Boondock Saints.
It's really, I'm hard-pressed, I mean, his editing style is completely different from what's presented in those movies. I mean, the only point of comparison I could see between the two is the amount of violence. But I mean, it's a comparable amount of violence to almost any action film Hollywood has produced in probably the last 20, 30 years. So
and while it's true that the storytelling can occasionally be a little nonlinear in Boondock Saints because you cut to from the McManus brothers to Agent Smecker, Willem Dafoe's character, flashbacking as he describes what happens occasionally, it more or less has a central linear plot focusing on two sides, but they're very much connected in their common story element. And I think one of the signatures of Guy Ritchie's films if I was going to say someone's ripping off Guy Ritchie, it is something, it would have to be a film with a plot coming from like five different directions and then finding union in the ending. But usually he likes to weave disparate threads and then combine them at the end. So the editing is totally different, the storytelling is different, the camera angles are different. So the fact that someone has an accent and they fire guns.
Pretty much.
So this is why this man is a moron. The guy who wrote and directed Boondock Saints and Boondock Saints 2, this is the second film he's done because he is an asshole. Okay. I like the first movie. I like it a lot, and I think it's a really good movie. And that's why I'm really hopeful about the second one, especially now that Julie Benz is going to be is in the sequel. And they've got the original cast, except Dafoe.
Yeah.
But the guy is a jerk. And the reason why he got himself blackballed is because he made such a hissy fit about his film not being in theaters. The guy's personally a jerk, but I don't think his filmmaking quality is
right. I mean, Let's be honest, lots of filmmakers and just artists in general are kind of jerks. I mean, that doesn't detract from their work, barring extreme cases, you know.
Some of the greatest musicians are total douchebags.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not going to finish, but it's... its greatness is often coupled with douchebaggery. Part of what, the problem is that really it's some of the best creative work comes from a lone, singular, visionary mind. And the people who have their visions compromised the least are douchebags, because they'll fight for it more. And so the nice guy gets compromised by the studio, which means that his stuff will become blanded down. And that's why, even though, I mean, the douchebags don't have better ideas, they're just less likely to have their ideas diluted by the corporate culture that permeates the entertainment industry.
Right.
What do you think, Katie?
Way to put me on the spot.
Exactly. So, JP, at volume one, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I have to say that whenever I read a blurb or review that says, this isn't the kind of movie that I would ever want to see, I immediately just kind of throw that reviewer's opinion out the window.
Well, it's not even a review. He's never seen the movie. He's reviewing a movie that hasn't come out yet and he hasn't seen.
Which is, I mean, inherently ridiculous. But I don't know. I actually, it's one of those things where I have a lot of respect for Volume 1. I think it serves a very useful purpose in our community, and there's a lot of really good writing that goes into it.
Oh, yeah.
But
I read Volume 1 every chance I get.
But I have always kind of tended to not put a lot of faith in their movie previews and reviews, because I feel like it's kind of, and I won't go into this because it's something I can talk about for hours, but it's kind of the same problem I have with Pitchfork Media, if anyone's familiar with that music review website, where they end up talking more about how, like, they talk about themselves and like, what they're, you know, they don't talk about the actual piece of art in question that they're supposedly previewing or reviewing. They're more talking about the act of them, you know, experiencing that, if that makes sense, which I feel like is a really bizarre form of criticism that I don't understand. But so, I don't know. So I usually tend to take their reviews with a grain of salt.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and I don't want to sound like I'm mocking Volume 1. I do like it a lot as a publication. And I've been reading Volume 1 since it started. Since Issue 1, actually. Since Issue 1 of Volume 1 started, I've been reading it. I admit I haven't seen every single issue out there because, you know, I have a life and I occasionally will leave town. So you know, if you have read every issue of Volume 1, please tell us about it at podcast@trhonline.com.
You are really milking that, aren't you?
Well, you see, the hope is eventually people will start emailing stuff in, and so we won't have to come up with material.
We didn't do that this time, though.
Well, I did.
Well, yeah, you did. Kate and I did, but
this is what I'm saying, and I apologize for my language to the world at large. Fuckers. Okay, I have to point. So, I search through the referral logs for trhonline.com all the time.
Yep.
And I found the creepiest search result ever. It is, in fact, the creepiest thing someone was looking for. The line is duct taped boys.
Not duct tape boy.
Not duct tape boy, discount superhero for the ages and hero of the unwashed masses. No. Duct taped, as in someone taped boys. And someone searched for sex with Matthew Bellamy. I don't know how that gets to my webpage, but the lead singer reviews.
Clearly your classic article, I want to have sex with Matthew Bellamy, of Muse.
People got their,
only if he keeps caterwauling like a fucking
I understand. I understand why people get to my website
like
when
Muse.
They look for the search term, the most disgusting websites. Because there actually is an article called The Most Disgusting Website Ever on my site. And I understand how they get legit spellcaster on eBay. The answer is there's no such thing. But it's a lie. The legit spellcaster on eBay is a lie. But duct taped boys. That's just...
No, I like Muse too, Katie. But you got to admit that sometimes when he like hits those high notes and just kind of is like... Go and like hit a bunch of notes up there for a while. He kind of sounds like a cat in heat.
It's true.
Where he's all
he
like,
does.
And you're like, what the hell are you doing? Like, those aren't notes that you should be hitting, man. Those are disturbing.
I mean, those are notes that I can't hit.
I know, and he's just going up. He's just having a good old time up there. And then he plays a guitar solo, and he's like, and it makes me feel bad about my guitar playing skills. But well, most guitar players make me feel bad about my guitar playing skills, so, you know, it's, you know, what can I do? So the guitar stop making music. Nope. Or bravely ahead and don't ever get better.
I don't even want to read that one. Is pussy a scientific word? The answer's no. Whoever went to my website trying to find out that answer, you're not going to find it in the text, but the answer is no. I apologize to the audience at home for my language. Somebody typed that into Google. But not only did someone type that into Google, but they saw a link to my website and said,
sure.
That's where I need to go. That makes me feel bad about myself. Who are you people? If you are these people, email us at podcast@tra.com and tell us what the heck you were looking for. Because there's something wrong with you, and we need to find out what it is so we can lock you up after backtracing your IP.
Well, Kevin got a voicemail about that, didn't you, Kevin? That weird guy that was asking for a, what, erotic massage, I think it was?
Someone, like, asked you for an erotic massage?
Yeah, I can play the voicemail.
Oh my god, yes! Bring it over here and play it into the microphone. I need to hear this. Okay, so Kaivar, the drummer to Happy Wednesday and good friend in whose apartment we're in, the Chattatorium, has an entertaining voicemail from someone looking for a sexual massage and called him.
Hi, Lexus. My name is Jerry. I'm looking for a erotic massage this afternoon. I'll be coming through Eau Claire here pretty soon. Just wondering if you're available. I saw your posting on Craigslist. Call me back if you have your caller ID on my cell phone. Thanks. Bye.
That wasn't like contact information. That was just a name.
That's the first thing. That is. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. That is the best thing ever. Okay, here's the thing. The Dollar Dance was totally new to me, like, just a couple of years ago. Like, that's something we do not do where I'm from.
I've never actually seen a Dollar Dance.
What was hilarious is at Topher's wedding a couple of years ago, or was that a year ago? I don't know. Time passes.
Topher's wedding was last summer.
It was last summer? Okay, whatever. So, almost a year and a half ago. Topher's wedding, the DJ announces that they're going to do the Dollar Dance. Topher has no idea what the Dollar Dance is, let alone that they're going to do it. We had to make him go over there. It was hilarious. And he's like, you know, awkwardly doing this. And like, I'm sorry, if you're a wedding DJ, shouldn't you clear it with the girl? You're going to... No, I'm going to my sister's wedding in a week, and I can guarantee you there will not be a Dollar Dance at that wedding. It will not happen. It just won't.
It's pretty awesome,
though.
At Jim and Ashley's wedding, their DJ was
David Lynch.
The filmmaker? Yeah. No. It wasn't really David Lynch, but it was a guy who looked almost exactly like him. He looked almost like...
You know what David Lynch looks like?
Yeah.
He watches his Daily Weather Report.
He does a Daily Weather Report, and there's a guy who reposts it on YouTube because I don't like to watch it on his website because he meets some wonky, weird player that's not...
What, Silverlight?
Yeah, I think. It's something weird.
Same guy back because I got Netflix Instagram and need Silverlight to use it on Mac.
The guy looked like exactly like David Lynch, and so I was just freaked out the whole time. I kept expecting him to just, you know, do something bizarre. Or just for like Twin Peaks character to show up as a lady like talking to a log, you know. that's a real Twin Peaks
random
character.
Random snaps start happening in the background.
Yeah. Or I expect him to like talk backwards into the mic, you know.
You could walk up to him and tell him that Northern Exposure is better than his show.
Names? You know, I mean, pretty much David Lynch, right? I want to watch Eraserhead. I should download a copy of that.
Yeah, we don't advocate illegal downloading unless it's on iTunes. I could download that.
Here's the thing. The reason that you typically don't purchase a DVD of that is that the only way to buy it for years and years, I don't think it's still true, was to pay for the $50 special edition on his website. it did not have like an official commercial release for a long time, and you had to buy like, and it came with a, to be fair, it came with like an extra disc that was longer than the movie of him talking about the movie. Apparently, like just sitting on a stool in a room with one light bulb. It's apparently super creepy. Not that that's surprising.
Doesn't read the script. That doesn't surprise me.
But you know, actually, what I should do is I just go to Hulu and watch Twin Peaks because the whole thing's not, well, except for the pilot. But there are other places on the internet that they have the pilot, I think.
That's what I don't get is Galactica 19. They have, on Hulu's got the entirety of the original Battlestar Galactica, and they have the entirety of the sequel series Galactica 1980, except the pilot episode
of
Galactica 1980.
It's the same thing with Twin Peaks. They have all of season 1 and 2, but they don't have the pilot episode. But because I think it's like the rights.
Oh no, it's the rights have to be owned by someone else. But it's still ridiculous because it's, or Netflix has the Legendary Journeys of Hercules, like starting season 1, but they don't have the TV movies on Instaplay that happened before that. I mean, I think they've got the discs actually.
Yeah, you can like get the discs.
But it's like when I want to watch, you know, Hercules and Aeolus fight a guy, I don't want to wait for a disc. I need that now. It was a time of myth and legend. When the ancient gods were petty and cruel. One man! Chris could do that whole thing.
One man from Minnesota walked around without a shirt on. He occasionally ran into Ash. And the guy who played other characters said, what's that guy? Who was Ted Raimi in?
Raimi was Joxer the Mighty.
Yeah, he's in the show.
He's the map maker in Legend of... He's Joxer the Mighty.
Yeah, well, no, I'm trying to think what he was in. He's in Army of Darkness, I think. Like
he's three different characters. Like,
oh, yeah.
Including his Sean Connery impersonation with a fake beard.
Oh, I forgot that, yeah. Oh, that's a good movie.
I want to say, you have my sword, is like his line or something like that. But I don't know if I'm also thinking of Lord of the Rings, which it's really the same. Okay, I'm sorry. The battle at the end of Army of Darkness... The big battle is the same battle as at Helm's Deep. It's the same fight.
Just less CGI. It's really
just with less of a budget.
Yeah.
Like, down to, like, the weight for it with the arrows. And
yeah.
I've always wanted to, like, edit those two scenes together because they would blend so perfectly. Because it's the same fight. We're moving on here. What we're about to do may or may not be a regular segment, but is very much one of my favorite things to look at in the world is the Twitter feed of a man named Paul Langland. You can be found at twitter.com/Langland88. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Paul Langland is a wonderful guy, but he is a man born without filters. Now Paul Langland's not a stupid man, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm making fun of him. In fact, I greatly admire the balls it takes and complete obliviousness. But it's mostly that what he posts to his Twitter feed, and this is what makes it great, is that he literally just posts whatever he's thinking. There's occasionally no context. There's occasionally nothing quite really to make it make sense. And I like to think about what made Langland say this.
I agree with you. It's one of those things where the whole idea of Twitter is supposed to kind of be just telling people what you're thinking, but most people just put their own, we still filter it. What's socially acceptable or things like that.
This is like a direct plug into Langland's brain.
It's really incredible. It's like the future or something.
This is we're gonna start with one of my favorite. This is an actual tweet of Langland's. I hate it when the number of brunettes to compliment goes to zero. Now let me dissect this for a moment here. Now, I love it when the number of brunettes to compliment goes to zero. I hate it when the number of brunettes to compliment goes to zero. This means that he was sitting there going, man, I really wish I could compliment someone right now. If only there were a brunette here. He wasn't thinking, I want to be surrounded by beautiful women. He wasn't thinking, I wish there were pretty girls here because he wants to be near a pretty girl. No, he was thinking, I really want to compliment someone, so it would be great if there were brunettes around.
On the one hand, I really find that kind of sweet.
No, it's...
On the other, it kind of puzzles me.
We're also a brunette, so...
I mean, and that's the question...
Blondes and redheads need love, too.
That's the question it leads to for me, is that you know, he... Okay. You know, but is he... Is he hates it when the number of brunettes the compliment goes to zero, but what about when the number of blondes the compliment goes to zero? Does Does he love that, or is he only okay with that, or does he slightly dislike that? I mean, there's just a lot of, you know, variations and shades of gray there where I'm just not sure what to think.
I have to read this next one. Okay, that's it. No more joining new forums. Unless the guy running the forum really, really wants me to join, then he can send me an invite. Paul Langland is in that much demand.
That there are people who run forums sending him invites.
That they want Paul Langland. I admit, I want Paul Langland on my side.
So, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Langland, I know you're listening to this. Why aren't you posting on trhonline.com?
Right now.
I mean, at the second.
Really? I mean, we know that there's a delay and you can't hear it right now, so this is kind of an insane thing to be saying, but, you know, I mean, still.
Here's another Paul Langland tweet. I have came up with this counting system that merges metric standards with imperial units. I'm shocked people on Gaia actually like the idea. Now, I don't want to make fun of the grammar because I'm sure he was just typing it quickly. People on Gaia like any idea.
It's
true.
I mean, you could go there with just about anything. They'd probably think it's a good idea.
I'd say, I want to write a hentai about Gadget from Rescue Rangers. They think it was great.
I think that was great.
That's disturbing, honey.
Yes.
I'm sure there's some deviant art sites where you could go and look at that. On.
All we ever get is bills in the mail. Why don't we ever get any Ted?
That is some deep shit.
It's true. I mean,
this is another one of my favorites. Holy shit, I need to get some followers so the 5 I have aren't super suspicious of my tweets. Now, okay, first off, you should follow Langland. So if you're not following Langland88 on Twitter, for shame. Secondly, he thinks that because people aren't reading them, they'll get suspicious.
Yeah, like
of what?
I mean, I don't understand where the logic comes in there. I think I'm missing a piece of this puzzle.
I think this is probably the last one that we're gonna read. It is 3 words. No, we'll read 2 of these. First off, is it's 4 words long. Is why is poetry boring?
My very zen answer would be because it's poetry.
Well, can I point out, I've never been able to tell the difference between good poetry and bad poetry. I can tell super bad poetry, I can tell, because, you know, if you've ever read what a 17-year-old goth writes, it's awful. But
hey, Trey, I got some stuff for you to look at.
Oh, dear Lord. Now, but here's the thing. Now, what the 19-year-old goth writes, honestly, I can't tell that from a lot of other stuff. And, you know, Emily Dickinson can be sung to the Yellow Rose of Texas.
Yeah.
I did not wish to suffer death. You kindly stop for me. Yeah, fuck it. Okay.
I don't think that was in the poem.
Clearly, it was. Clearly, you haven't read the director's cut. the unreadable.
Yeah, Emily Dickinson is a badass motherfucker.
It's true.
It's true.
You know, she shot a man in Reno once just to watch him die. And this is my favorite Paul Langland tweet. Completely confused now. That's the whole thing.
That's it.
There's no. This means he was confused.
And he felt the need to tell us. I mean,
this is why I love Paul.
I mean, why is he confused? I don't know. It could be anything.
So you should subscribe to Langland88's Twitter feed.
I know I will.
Just to experience what his life is like. Right now he has 10 followers, and probably one of those at least is a spam bot. Because if you're on Twitter and you don't have at least 3 spam bot followers, you're not anyone. He's only got 10 followers. I'm not going to be doing a podcast with these guys next week. They might record an episode without me. But in 2 weeks, when I'm next here, if I don't see that number of at least 20 followers, if I don't see his number double, I'm going to be very disappointed in all of you. Which means all 10 of you who are listening to this show, who aren't already subscribed to his feed, this is important.
Tell your friends.
Tell your mother.
Word to you.
Well, that's more than enough boring you for this week.
Yeah, I think that probably covered it.
Well, if we're going to be nice, maybe we didn't completely bore all of them.
good. That would be very good. But on that note, thank you for listening to the first episode of the Earl McCoy Show. I hope we didn't scare you off. I'm Trey Dorn, filling in for Earl this week was tall Katie Hathaway, who is waving on an audio podcast, which is really not helpful, and Matthew Biederman. We have been recording live in the Chatatorium, and we'll hopefully see you. You might see someone next week in the spot. Who knows? But you'll see someone here in 2 weeks at least. So have fun, good night, and screw you.